So, good afternoon, and this is a video recording for the Freedom of Choice Remembrance Project. The date is Wednesday, February 17th, 2021, and I'm talking with Mr. Robert Steve Wright, who was a member of the inaugural class at Integrated Louisiana High School in 1965. So, welcome.
Thank you.
And what I want to do is kind of talk with you about your experiences back in 1965 in integrating Louisiana High School. But first, I want to start with what was the forces that led you to make that decision to attend Louisiana High School?
Well, they had asked for volunteers, and
who were they?
I would say probably the PTA of the black schools. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I don't really know. I would say probably Mr. Thompson might have been part of it or head of it, because I know his
Mr.
daughter.
John Thompson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I mentioned to you later in our telephone, early in our telephone conversation, my nephew, William Mason,
yeah.
The son of Erlina Mason, and we were both born on the same day, but I would always let him push me into things. So he was coming, so he encouraged me to come over with him, and so I did.
Okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, I think some people thought that the smartest of the groups, or the smart ones came over, but that wasn't the case. I was not a smart person. I just came over, you know.
I know that's
true,
but
and so, it's almost like my experience in the Army. You know, some of it you might not have enjoyed, but after it's over, you're glad you went through it.
Okay.
But I don't feel like it was really, when you consider some of the other Southern states, or some of the other things, I don't feel like it was that bad. Even though we did have a few negative issues, but it could have been worse. So,
okay, now think back to that first day. Did you ride the bus to school?
Yes, I rode the bus. And William used to tease me about that. He said, when I was standing in the hall waiting on, instructions on where we should go and waiting on him, and he said that when he came in, I had a pencil in my mouth and I had chewed it up because I was scared. You know, he would always like to make a joke about everything.
Did you get on the bus early on the route or later on the route? And did you have a problem getting a seat?
The bus that I rode, the way it was for me, it was one bus, the lady's name was Miss Hawkins. And she would pick me up at my house and then come right here to this elementary school. And then I would transfer over on to another bus to go down to the high school. I don't remember that driver's name. On that bus, Miss Hawkins, I was the only black. And on that second bus, Margie Lucas was on there with us. And I hope Margie doesn't get mad with me, but she was so light, I couldn't even know. I found a spot at her eyes,
Yeah, she was here just this morning. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So
as far as seating, you always had a seat. You didn't have any problems with others?
Not on my bus.
Okay.
Not on my bus, but...
Would white sit beside you?
Yeah, occasionally, yeah.
Okay.
The only thing on that one of the buses is that occasionally somebody would throw a spitball at you because they would be behind me. But, I'm 71 years old now, and when I look back, kids will be kids, so it was no big deal. At least it wasn't anything but a spitball or a piece of paper.
Okay. Now, that first day when you entered the school, now I know you had been in Richardson
mm-hmm.
for your 8th, 9th, 10th grade years.
Mm-hmm.
What was the big differences you saw between entering Richardson on the first day of school versus Louisiana High School?
One of the things is... At Richardson, you had to run and hide in the bathroom or somewhere to take a smoke, but they had a designated spot for the guys in Louisa where you could go out and smoke. And of course, they didn't let the guy, it was weird, they wouldn't let the girls smoke, but they would let the guys. It was a special area where we could go and smoke. Some of the other things that I noticed that, for instance, I never had to do a book report at Richardson. That was sort of new. And just like I remember Mr. Lehman, bless her heart, as we had to memorize the Gettysburg Address. And but what she did, she, I guess, felt like we might be nervous or something, so she would let us come to the class early to recite it. But
us meaning?
Well, see, William and I, we pretty much, all of our class, we stuck together.
Okay.
So William was in that was literature or English. And so, but she allowed us to come early to give our class. Another thing about back then, I don't even know if they still, I guess it's in the libraries. We had to read this book. You remember Tom Sawyer?
Yeah.
Huckleberry Finn, and it had the N-word in it. That was, and it looked like she really hated to, that sentence or that word was in there, but you know, it was nothing she could do. But she was a real nice lady, I thought, Miss Lehman.
I remember her well, Miss Edith Lehman.
Oh, you remember her?
Well, she was our neighbor.
Oh, okay.
In our community.
Yeah.
So going back to, you know, that first day,
mm-hmm.
You know, probably 90% of the school was white.
Yeah.
Did you feel intimidated at all?
Not really. I just, you know, I just looked around and nobody bothered me, you know, and I guess they would glance at me, but I'm thinking that they probably were, the whites were prepared for it, and they probably had been advised on how to handle themselves also, because nobody gave us any trouble on that first day.
Good. And you said, okay, so you shared a class with, all your classes with William Mason?
Yep. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And what about, I guess, Margie and Joe Morris were also classmates, only in the same year group.
You
shared classes with either of them?
I remember Joe being in French, the French class with me. I think this was in our senior year. I can't remember if Margie was anything with me or not. And Joe and I were on a basketball team in the junior year. And Joe was more or less first string, and I was on the, I made the first string good by being on the second bench. Yeah.
Now we're talking about basketball in just a moment. We're trying to at least touch a few things. And I had a thought that left me, and that happens a lot at this age. So we talked about the bus ride. We talked about your kind of first day, first impression of school.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the being a junior
mm-hmm.
and, you know, when folks make decisions career-wise, did you recall any conversation with the school counselor about your post-graduation plans or taking college SATs?
I don't recall, but I believe it was Mrs. Martin, the principal's wife, and I don't remember her discussing anything, but I do remember after I graduated and came back from the Army, a lady by the name of teacher, Miss Woodward, she was connected with the Woodward Funeral Home. And she gave me some advice as far as, you know, going to college and everything. But as far as counseling, I can't remember receiving any direct counsel. I think I mentioned to you earlier, I took academic courses like biology, chemistry. I didn't need those courses, but I was following my buddy William, my nephew. I really should have taken, you know, commercial courses. But anyway, we made it through it some kind of way.
Do any students stand out to you that was, that you would deem friendly back then? Speaking of white students.
Okay, yeah. Some of the names that jumped out at me, that jump out at me is like Dwight Rigsby, Steve Montgomery.
What did they do that made you feel that they were friendly?
Well, you know, they would just have conversation with us. And Clyde Johnson, he passed away. I went to his family gathering about a year ago. But those three come to my mind. And, of course, back in those days, you had to kind of be careful how friendly you were with the females because, you know, that wasn't accepted. Of course, you see it all the time nowadays, but back then, you had to, you know, watch yourself in the way you handled yourself around white females. But you know, I remember, like, they were nice, like Pam Henderson. Well, I don't, let's see.
She's Dr. Richardson now.
Yeah, yeah. She was real nice. At the last reunion we had, I mentioned to her, I hated it because, you know, if she hadn't been so smart getting these hundreds, I probably could have got a curve on some of my. But she was real nice. Several of them were real nice.
Okay. On the other spectrum, do you have any memories of anyone being not friendly?
Well, I didn't take it. I know several guys like teasing, especially when they were around others trying to be funny, they would use the N-word. And one of the, I don't, do you want me to give names or just?
Whatever you're comfortable with.
But I, you know, I played with them even though I kid back with them. Like one was a fellow by the name of Dennis McDonald and who else? It was several of them that would just throw that word out at you. And again, it was nothing that, you know, we would get to fighting over anything like that. It was just one of those things.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Ms. Lehman was kind of friendly towards you and sensitive to your situation. What about any other teachers that you say did some things that made you feel a little more comfortable?
I don't know if this might have been my senior year, but it was a teacher there, his name was Colonel Phillips, that taught algebra. And he told me one time, it was like, you want to show that white man that you can excel. I mean, he's white, but he's telling me to prove that I can excel. And my mind goes back to that. I thought that was, you know, real good advice from him. Because there were times when I would act unruly, and he was trying to encourage me about my studies and so forth. And he said, you need to show that white man what you can do.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, any teachers that you felt were not treating you fairly?
For the most part, I do remember one instance in French class. I know she did. Her name was Miss Keller. And we were taking a test, and I think one of the other kids told her that I was cheating. And so she came over and asked me to lift up my papers because she thought I had, like, we used to call it a pony, but I didn't have it and have one. And so, you know, I don't hold that against her because she was just probably being influenced by what somebody else had told her.
Okay. During unstructured time, lunch break, study hall, were you able to sit with other folks, other whites, or interact with them during that, call it unstructured time?
Most of the time, William and I and some of the others, we would pretty much in the cafeteria have our own little gatherings at the tables, and we didn't do that much intermingling at lunch. But when we would go outside to smoke, then, you know, we would intermingle with conversation. As a matter of fact, sometime I would bum a cigarette off a white guy. But basically in study hall, we stuck together.
Okay. Do you have any recollections of any administrators, Mr. Martin, the principal, any other teachers approaching, asking you if you're okay or had any issues or need any help with anything?
Well, Mr. Martin, he tried to help me. And one time, I remember reporting to him that I was kind of thinking someone had let the air out of my tire in my car, or it was my brother's car. But it really didn't have to be that. But, you know, he was concerned about that issue. I don't know if you're going to get to this later on. And I remember one time I did upset him. This was the time when I told you about it. I hit the young man.
Tell us again about it.
He had a rough time on his bus. I think it was the Gordonsville bus. And, you know, the kids wouldn't let him sit down, and he was somewhat received harassment. So one day, I decided to, I had Russell King and Charles Hayes. This was the second year.
Yeah.
And we rode the bus with William. And everything was quiet. So I said, William, where are all these people that's been giving you these problems, you know? And nobody said anything. So when we got off of the bus, that's when everybody started mouthing, some of them. And I kind of walked back towards the bus, and the guy got back up on the bus, and they took off. And so after that, they said, they made a rule that you couldn't ride any other bus. You had to ride your own bus. So that's the way that was taken care of. But also, William had complained about a guy giving him trouble on that bus. So I hauled off one morning. You know, you'd meet in the gym, I mean in the auditorium before the classes started. And I hit a guy. And William later on told me it was the wrong guy. But Mr. Coach Smith, he came in and got me and took me to Mr. Martin. And I got suspended. And Mama had to come back with me to get me back in. And so Mr. Martin said, told Mama, said, I don't know what the hell Robert think he's doing. My sisters used to laugh at me because my older sister earlier, she came with Mama to help get me back in. And so we got on track. But, you know, again, Mr. Martin was really a nice guy. But I think that, you know, he was probably under pressure too, because they had to make sure that we were treated right, as well as, you know, he didn't want, I guess, the white parents on his case either. But so he was probably in between, or sort of like under pressure himself. But overall, he was a nice guy. Yeah.
So how long were you out of school?
Just one day.
Just one day, okay. Mm-hmm. Not bad. But it was the wrong guy, huh?
The wrong guy.
Okay.
And you know how they had, and I'm not sure, I think I told you I was going to look it up someday. I tried to find it. But you know how the seniors would have a will, and this so-and-so leaves his so-and-so.
Right.
And they said Robert Wright leaves his switchblade to whatever that guy's name was. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Want to shift gears slightly from when you entered the school, at least your 2 years at the school, did you feel that you were equal to the whites? And looking at it two ways, both from an intellectual standpoint, not granted, I mean, I've been smart as clever, but do you feel that we're able to compete intellectually? And also, from an economic standpoint, do you feel that your family's economic means were comparable to the average white student?
No, not economically, because one thing, my father passed away a week before President Kennedy was assassinated, so my mother had to raise me, and those were some rough times for us. And my father did farm work, and the people that he worked for didn't take out Social Security for him. And I guess it was his fault, too, because he should have probably pursued that. So as a kid, after my father passed, I was 14, I never got a check, you know, like other kids from whose parents had passed on like that. So economically, I wasn't. Now, on the other hand, even when I was at Richardson, I was not a great student. Studying was not my thing. You know, basically, I love basketball with a passion, and I needed someone to just tell me, hey, you're short, you're not going to make any basketball. And even if they had told me, I don't think I would have received it. So I didn't give a lot of attention to books and studying. So I look back on it, it wasn't that I wasn't able or didn't have the brains, it's just that I didn't apply myself at either school like I should have.
Okay. So during your junior year, senior year, if you were at Richardson, you'd be going to homecoming dance, prom, and parties on Friday nights. Mm-hmm. Now, when you went to Louisa, those were still going on, but did you have a desire to attend any of those with your white classmates?
Yes, we went, in the junior and senior year, we went to the proms. And for a while, there was some talk. I think, as a matter of fact, that's one of the things that William told me, that one of the guys on his bus said, we can't have a prom because you guys are here. But they did have the prom, and we did go. But I guess that for a while they were debating as to whether they would have a prom because of our attendance. But we did have a prom, and William and I went to both of them.
Okay, what about homecoming dances, and what about like Friday night dances?
I never did attend to any of those. Okay. I didn't even try to.
Why not?
One thing, I wasn't a dancer, I guess, and at that stage too, on Fridays, on weekends, a lot of times I had other things to do, so I never really tried to go to a homecoming dance or any of that.
Okay. Do you think you would have been welcomed, or would you have been able to go if you had a desire to?
I think that would have some. Would have maybe been okay with it, but I do think that, you know, when you're out like that, you would have certain groups that would have probably tried to start some issues. Because I remember this was at the fair, at, you know, the Farmers Fair one year, and I'm trying to think if I was still in high school, but I remember a bunch of young whites, and I could call one of the names down. They were walking around singing the old Rugged Cross. Now, you know what that was about, even though it was a religious song, but you know what they were, why they were singing that. So you had groups or a group that would probably give you some problems along those lines had I been out. So I guess in some instances, I'm glad I didn't try to go to any of these things alone.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you involved with any school clubs or any extracurricular activities at Richardson? Whether it be newspaper, yearbook staff, or Future Farmers of America, any of those type clubs? And I'm leading up to, did you join anything at Louisa County High School? If so, or if not, why not?
No, I did not. The only thing I did, like I said, I mentioned the basketball team. Mm-hmm. I went out for the football team one year, but they practiced during the summer, and I hadn't attended, so the coach didn't feel like it would have been fair to the other players for me to just get on the team, and they had worked hard that summer, and I understood that. Also, and getting back to basketball, I couldn't understand in our junior year why they made us wait. We had to wait about 2 or 3 months before we could play or participate, and that was kind of weird. And
was any explanation given?
I didn't ask for one. I do remember, well, Steve, and I don't want to take anything away from Steve Montgomery, he was a nice guy. But he had transferred from Richmond, and he got to play right away. And I think we asked him about it, but he didn't know either. He didn't. If he knew, he didn't want to deal with it. But I don't think he really knew. But then again, he probably did, like we did, figure why But they made us wait.
Okay. Now, looking at basketball, as you went to other schools, did you encounter any issues?
Yes.
Playing at other schools? Share those.
Yeah. It was Fluvanna High School. And me and one of the guys on the team, white guys, Andy Woolfolk, we went out. And when we came back in, somebody in the crowd said, "Hey, they got a nigga with them." And I just kept walking there. So Coach Woolfolk, he said, "Rob, did they give you a hard time?" He just laughed. He said, "They gave you a hard time out there, Robin." But that was about the, of course, you know, I wasn't going to go up in the crowd at a away game and mess with anybody and try to defend myself on that. And it really didn't bother me.
Okay. Any other remembrances that you had, good or bad, on the team?
It wasn't a racial type thing, but it was an embarrassing thing. we had Powhatan beaten, and the coach put the second string in, and we blew it. We let him come back and win the game. That was embarrassing to me. but it would, you know, it had nothing to do with any type of racial problem. Just one of those things where we blew the game.
Yeah. As you entered the Louisiana High School, granted you left friends at Richardson, as you encountered them, both students or adults, did any of them make comments about you attending Louisiana High School, and what were the comments?
Yeah, some of them seemed to be somewhat resentful. On occasion, I remember one time, because for Louisa, sometimes we would wear, the guys would wear a necktie to the games. And then, you know, so on that particular night, I went over, after we finished at Louisa, I went over to Richardson, and I still had the tie on. And somebody just, you know, said something about that. But, you know, it's my necktie, my shirt, leave me alone. But it wasn't a lot of resentment, but yes, a few things you might just remember from time to time as you go back in your mind about it.
Can you think of adults in your community, be it in the church or others, anyone have asked about your experiences that first or second year?
I don't remember. I don't think they did. Okay. Now that you mention it.
Mm-mm. Interesting. Looking back, did you ever have any doubts about staying after that first year? Did you ever think about going back to Richardson?
I did not. I wanted to stick with it. Now, and I shared this with you, because of the harassment that William received, I remember after he passed, and also before his mother passed, I used to... my home was over in the Ellisville area, but I would go down 208, and my sister lived on one of those streets off of 208, and I would stop by and holler at her. And we were chatting about William, because William had some health issues, and a lot of people didn't realize it, but William was on medication, you know, for his mentality. And she felt like that William could have had that problem because of some of the things that he faced on that bus. And she told me that out of her own mouth that William told her, he asked her, could he go back to Richardson? But she encouraged him to hang in there. But at one time it got so bad for him, he wanted to go back.
Wow. And going through that, being in Louisiana High School, being a minority, extreme minority, how do you think that impacted your life for the better or for worse, having experienced that integration?
I think it was a good thing, because after I got out of the Army, of course in the Army, you know, one sergeant said, "All of you are green." But when I got out of the Army, see, I got this job later on at State Farm. Well, it was a white environment, predominantly, and being in that mixed school, you know, in the midst of the school, like you said, with I guess 90 to 99% predominantly white, then at State Farm, it sort of helped me to deal with things that we had to go through there. So I'm glad I did it, and I believe it did help me.
Okay. Do you have much contact with white classmates now?
Very little. We have had several class reunions, and I think I've attended each one of them. I know I've attended some of them, and it was just good seeing everybody, and nobody seemed to be, you know, we just, how you doing, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And several of them, I led the, you know, I said the grace, I said the prayer now, so.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Good. Is there anything that you would like to share that I didn't ask? Because I know we didn't want to cover too much ground, but mm-hmm. really want to make sure we capture stuff that's important to you.
Well, one of the things, and I remember making this statement at my church to some of the black kids to remind them, you know, don't take your education lightly. I mean, when you think about the things like what we did and others before us, Martin, you know, and you go to school and act like a clown and act silly, you know, you need to take advantage of what you have and the opportunities, because it don't pay. The same white guy that you're laughing at his plaid pants later on, he's going to be loaning you money, you know what I'm saying? So you need to, at the black high school, the teachers, they were more concerned about you, but some of the white teachers, they're not going to push you along and encourage you. So you need to think about what you're doing. Also, as I mentioned, you know, with my opening statement, when you really look at it, I think that it was not a real bad experience when we compare to what the kids went through in Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia. So I'm just thankful to the Lord. If I had to go through it again, I would.
Now, basic question, would you behave differently? Would you do things differently?
Definitely.
Okay.
At A.G. Richardson and Louisa High, because, I mean, I'm doing pretty good now, but I just think about if I had just taken full advantage of the education itself, you know, where I could be or what I could be doing. So, yes, I would definitely, I would have done better with my studying especially.
Good. Well, that's all we have. I want to thank you for participating, for sharing, and this concludes the formal portion of the interview. So thank you.
I appreciate Wright. You asking me to come by. I appreciate it.
And Carly will have need you to sign a release form.
Okay.
So, and also, she probably